Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe is going to swing by in studio. He's visiting St. Louis today. Of course, he is a candidate for governor of Missouri to replace Mike Parson, and the primary is coming up very quickly in August. Of course, Bill Eigel is in that race with Jay Ashcroft as well, so we'll visit with the Lieutenant Governor. Before we do that, there was a breaking story earlier this afternoon. I talked about it in the 3 o'clock hour, that makeshift homeless encampment on Chippewa and Spring has now been taken down. And Steve Butts, state representative, good friend of the show, regular panelist on the Reardon Roundtable, was interested in this story. You drove by it a couple of months ago. You got involved in an effort to kind of take it down. And Steve, it's gone, I hear. Is that true?
It is true, Mark. I am right here at the corner of Chippewa and Spring. And I'm certainly not taking any credit for it. I presume it certainly had everything to do with Bevershock's lawsuit. But to go by now, you would never know the horror that these people lived with for 3+ years. And you can see their lawn and their flowers. And I mean, they're just back to living their life. Every time I speak in the past 2 months, I challenge every single person, drive by the corner of Chippewa and Spring. And just, we need every voice to be drawing this attention to all the authorities, and I guess somebody at the city of St. Louis finally moved them out. I have no idea where they went. They have been kind of nomadic in this area.
Right.
That part's well documented. But these people, 3 years in their front lawn, using the sewer as the toilet, and it was more than a tent. I mean, I don't know what to call it.
It's hard to describe it. And I went by in person, Steve, after you and I started finding out about this a couple of months ago. And I didn't even know about it until it gets on Fox News. And they're talking about it on The Five. And I look up one afternoon right around this time. And then I find out from listeners, that it had been there for a couple of years. So I drove by, took some pictures. We talked about it at the time. By the way, Beavis is out of the country and he couldn't join us today. But I would like to find out exactly what happened. They said the mayor's office was quoted on Camo X saying, in recent weeks, the tent had expanded and became a hazard, which prompted the city to relocate and clear their camp. Well, come on. It was a hazard for 2 years, right?
It was a hazard, but it did get noticeably bigger. It always was much bigger than just a tent, but it was just the permanence of it. I mean, it was just beyond belief. And this one family, and actually this whole block, they had more than put up with their share of it. This would have not, it was intolerable for anybody to have to live with something like this for this long. Anyway, so I'm happy for the people that live right at the corner. This is right at Spring and Chippewa. It's well known area. It's a busy area. And I'm happy that it was resolved.
I am too. Now, look, the city also says this was a couple from the Sudan, apparently. I did not know that. They say that they have been taken and they have a roof over their heads. I don't know what the details of that. But we had Mark Cox actually left work today, Steve, and right down here, not too far from, Odyssey. at 14th and Market, he snapped a picture of a guy that we've seen many times at the intersection across from Stiefel. He's a homeless guy. And Kevin Killeen even interviewed him a couple of years ago. I think it's the same guy. And he was just completely naked, sitting on the sidewalk on a towel in the middle of the day. Now, there's no doubt that that person, I don't know about the couple from Sudan, they probably just wanted a place to live, but this guy is severely mentally ill, and I don't know what more we can do. I mean, you want to have some empathy for the guy that clearly has some issues and, you know, get him some help, but at the same time, this is the image of St. Louis that people see on a regular basis. I understand other American cities have the same issue right now, but I don't know what the answers are moving forward.
I don't. I mean, more affordable housing, because I know that that's part of it. But another part is we just cannot allow encampments to grow and stay so permanent. I know it's a very transient population, and it seems like the problem is a little bit less when they keep moving, if you know what I mean. So it's not as permanent. But, Mark, we have empathy and love for these people. You also have to have empathy and concern for the residents that have to live there.
That's right.
This is not an easy situation, but at least this was the most onerous. This was the worst I've ever seen, was this situation. Yes. So at least on this day, these people have their life back. And because there's so much to be done, and I'm not an expert in the case, but you see this homelessness, not just the face of St. Louis, it's like you said, other urban cities. Yeah. But, you know, I go to Steelville, Missouri all the time. There's homeless people now just hanging out in Steelville. That used to never happen. Mm. And my hunch is it's not just mental illness, but it's fentanyl. I just got to
believe
it's
I think that's
fentanyl.
A big part of it. And that's not really seemingly getting better. Now you have the Supreme Court. You know, there are arguments about some of this in the homeless encampments in the court, and they are likely to rule that municipalities have the right to, you know, to do things, and business owners should have some rights as well, because in Los Angeles, you're told, hey, if they defecate in front of your store, you have to clean it up. So the courts are going to rule on this, and that's going to present more challenges to cities. But, Steve, thanks for the update. I appreciate it.
You got it. Okay, right, guys. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
State Representative Steve Butts with us reporting on that story. That was interesting that they came up. And the Camo X story, one of the people who works across the street from the encampment said she drove up and lo and behold, the thing was gone. So that had to be shocking to people who have driven by there a bunch of times. Something that I've seen on my travels quite a bit, Sue, billboards from Mike Kehoe. He is the lieutenant governor. He's running for governor. He joins us in the studio this evening to talk about some of the things that are relating to the governor's race. We're going to visit with Mike and have a conversation. Mike Kehoe, how are you this afternoon?
Doing great. It's great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
I do see a lot of billboards. I think it's the electronic billboards. Right at 141 and 44 where I live, I get on that highway every day and I see Mike Kehoe, the true conservative for governor of Missouri. I think it says that, right?
The right conservative.
The right. Oh, see, I messed it up.
It's a little play on words when you say the right.
It is. Let me start on that front. I want to talk about, you just got back from the border, and we want to have a good conversation about that. But I'm curious about your thoughts, because the game that gets played in politics quite a bit, and I'm not a big fan of it, is you're not as conservative as the other guy, or you're a rhino. So, look, your positions, and you and I probably disagree on some stuff, and I know you disagree on some things with the other candidates for governor, but I do reject the notion that Mike Kehoe is not a conservative, just so you know. And I hope that we can have a debate about maybe some of the issues moving forward.
Well, I 100% agree. I mean, it seems like we've moved to this, are you a conservative on a scale of 1 to 10? And that's definitely not how we move conservative values or the party forward. So I'm one of those people that is a business person, and my whole life's been built on relationships and how you build relationships with people. And sometimes you talk to somebody who doesn't agree with you. Maybe they're from the other party, or maybe they're from your same party, but you hope to get to a point where you end up with a conservative solution, and I think that's how Missourians win.
Well, because from my perspective, and I think you agree with this, you've been in the legislature for a while, you and I have talked about infrastructure issues, et cetera, you also want to get things done. And I'm fine with throwing the red flag on things that maybe conservatives should not be a party to. There's things in Washington that happen all the time, but there are the issues of governing, right?
Well, I tell people all the time, screaming is easy, governing is hard. And so if you want somebody who wants to stand up on the table or shout from the highest mountain how conservative they are, I'm probably not your guy. I'm born and raised conservative values. I'll never leave those. But governing is something you have to do to really actually make a difference in the state.
But let me talk about a hot-button issue, because this is just tricky across the country moving forward, and that's the issue of abortion. So what is Mike Kehoe's position right now on that particular topic?
I've supported every pro-life bill that has come across the legislature. I'm proud of our pro-life record. My wife and I have been involved in pro-life organizations for decades, pregnancy resource centers for decades. And I think that an elected official, one of the most important things you can do is speak for the innocent and the unborn who don't have a voice.
And I'm always pro-life. I explain it this way. It's just a personal thing for me. I was born in 1965. I'm just a tad younger than Mike Kehoe. I checked that today because I was looking at the bio. Not by much, though. But I don't know my biological father. And, you know, this was before Roe, so it's easy that something else could have happened. I had a brother who was born hydrocephalic, my late brother Darren, and certainly some choices potentially could have been made with that. But I also understand that this is a very personal decision. Mike, I honestly can't believe that we're still in 2024 talking about it. I started doing talk radio back in 1992, and I would have predicted, and I'm very wrong about a lot of my predictions, that we're still talking about some of these things right now. That's a little surprising to me.
Well, I mean, I never met my father, by the way. So
I didn't know that.
You know, similar backgrounds growing up. But, you know, whole issue has really been brought forward, obviously, in the 70s when this was passed. You were a little bit younger than me, but we had the bracelets that we wore when that decision came down from the Supreme Court as a kid. And so as a practicing Christian, Catholic in my case, it's always been something we focus on is protecting innocent life. And I think that's, like I said, I think it's one of the most basic things you can do is speak up for those who can't speak.
Well, I want to talk maybe about a couple other issues, but Mike Kehoe, you just got back from the border. It's interesting. I was talking to my sister today. My sister is very Catholic. She's there with her priest. Her priest, Father Corey, this is from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Father Corey is a very smart man from this perspective, Mike Kehoe. He's a Cardinals fan. He's not a Cubs fan, so I support that. But my sister knows my politics, and she said, well, what's your opinion on this? And what I say is, I've only been to one third world country. I went to Honduras about maybe a dozen years ago. I saw people there that, you know, truly lived in poverty, right? No electricity, nothing like that. They were happy. The kids had smiles on their faces, though. It was amazing. So I understand the desire to make a better life for yourself. There's no doubt about that. I approve my sister going down there trying to do some humanitarian things, right? But on the other hand, this is completely out of control.
Well, good for her, and God bless the father who's a Cardinals fan,
right,
by the way. You know, their savior yet. But we've been to the border twice, once for two different National Guard units in Laredo, Texas, and just a few weeks ago to McAllen, Texas, where our Highway Patrol is. And they're working alongside a Texas DPS. And we saw firsthand folks coming across the border. But you're 100% right. The really sad part about it is there are people who are living a horrible life in another world and want to come over to where there's opportunities here in the United States. And because we have so many coming across, not only illegally, but bringing substances across the border that are killing folks in the United States, including Missourians, we have to stop that, or at least we have to funnel it to a point of entry, a POE they call down there, where we can actually check the folks that are coming across and find out what they're doing, what do they have on their possession. You know, we had enough fentanyl come across in just 1 year of Operation Lone Star. They stopped 450 million, that number's correct, 450 million lethal doses of fentanyl. That's what they stopped. That's enough to kill the U.S. population one and a third times over. So stopping what's coming across our border is very, very important. It's sad because there are people that want opportunities. My family immigrated from Ireland back in the late 1800s. Everybody's family in this country literally probably immigrated from somewhere. And we do have a great country for people to be able to take advantage of a great free market democracy, a capitalistic system. But we got to keep the bad guys out. And that's just, this open border policy is just crazy.
And I think that, the issues are conflated from the standpoint that there's plenty of support for legal immigration. And, you know, I've used this story a couple of times. Was at Bush Stadium last year when there were a bunch of naturalized citizens taking the oath and proudly doing that. And the crowd could not have been more proud of them for going through that process. And I've had friends that have gone through that. But the images that we see on a daily basis have just been horrifying. And, you know, I think that there's a misunderstanding on our friends on the left with why someone in Missouri, we're not exactly a border state, and we don't have maybe the influx that other communities do. But people in Missouri still care about this issue.
I would argue every state's a border state now, Mark, because those folks are coming up into Missouri. In just 2023 alone, we had 77,000 illegal immigrants staying here, and taxpayer dollars were over $460 million going towards various services from education to health care, et cetera, for the illegal immigrants. Those are dollars that could have gone to our veterans, to our teachers, to back to Missourians. Pick a category. Every state is a border state. So getting that border locked down, the open border policy that our current administration have in D.C. is absolutely insane. campaign, and we absolutely have to move the change that. I think we have to move to a new administration to do it. That's my personal opinion.
So, look, we're almost May 1st is not too far away next week. This primary is going to be here before we know it, right? And people get into summer vacation mode, et cetera. What are you going to try and emphasize most here in the next couple of months, Mike?
103 days away.
Yeah. Who's counting?
I am counting. My wife is really counting, by the way. And she's from Chicago, but unfortunately, she didn't get the good baseball gene.
It's a mixed marriage. There's a shot, though.
Yeah, I only had to root for him once in 2016, so that was good. I am the governor who understands crime. I'm from inner city St. Louis, North St. Louis. When some people talk about that are running for governor that say, hey, you know, we're going to fix the crime. They haven't lived in the crime problem. I got my first pistol from a gang fight right in front of my house that I still have today. We have the backing of the Fraternal Order of Police, the Missouri State Highway Patrol Troopers Association, statewide organizations that understand that we're going to work on the day one crime plan. When my hand comes off that Bible, we're going to do nothing but work on solving crime in our inner cities and across the state. We are going to be the most friendly state in the union for recruiting, hiring, and promoting police officers and getting our police departments the resources they need to put the bad guys in jail and keep them there. Thank goodness we have somebody like Gabe Gore who's actually taking the person off the street and keeping them off the street. The problem before him was they were getting out faster than the cops could do the paperwork. So we've got to get our cities back because that's what our economy thrives on. That's what our community safety thrives on. That will be the day one plan for me will be crime.
You saw the Wall Street Journal piece about our city a couple of weeks ago, right? There seems to be this notion by some people, even business leaders, that are unaware of, and again, it's perception is the reality. Maybe some things are getting better, but I work downtown every day and I see things that are not better. There's certainly, you go down to the soccer stadium and a little further west, that looks pretty good, but between there and Busch Stadium and then obviously up to the north, not so great. So it is an emphasis. Do you have a relationship with the mayor or not?
I do.
Good one?
We were born and raised in the same neighborhood.
I know, but you know, she seems to have a different vision of some of these things.
It would seem that to some degree, I don't know who she listens to. Now, I'm a big fan of the new chief. I think Chief Tracy's doing a great job. I think Gabe Gore's doing a great job.
I've heard both good things.
But unfortunately, sometimes the mayor thinks that we're in a better place than we are. And I'm with you. I know people who visit here, who live here, who are afraid to go to certain parts of the city. I go back up to Walnut Park in Baden, where I'm from, and work at a community center up there. I see it firsthand. There's a way to get the crime under control here. And you know, the mayor and I probably just disagree on how to get that done, but I believe there's a way to get it under control.
Random question. I think the answer would be no, but are you going to get involved in any of these other races, in particular the attorney general's race, with a recommendation? Are you going to endorse in that race?
I'm not.
You can do it right now. We can make some news.
I know.
That's
why
I'm asking.
That's what this station's all about, making news. I'm trying to win my own race on August 6th right now. There's a lot of great candidates, though, to answer your question, in multiple statewide elective races. Andrew Bailey has done a great job, and I've gotten to know him very well. He worked for Department of Corrections as their legal counsel, and then, of course, with the governor. And so I've known Andrew. I respect what he did. I believe he and his office were largely responsible to getting a new circuit attorney here, and so I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, and I love him. I think he's doing a great job. You know, in that race, I guess I asked about that in particular because there are two good candidates.
Sure, there's talent. Will Sharp, I've known him a long time, very talented, incredibly smart. And so Missourians will have a good pick there.
All right, Mike. Well, thank you so much for making the effort and swinging by here in person. What are you doing here in St. Louis City? Anything?
We got multiple meetings. We just went to a great company, actually, up in my old neighborhood, right off of 70 and Goodfellow, that's making electric, accessories for rail cars. And it's a startup company located here in St. Louis. They got about 35 employees in the old ABB factory right off 70. So we visited them. We're going to do some stuff with Progress 64 West tomorrow. We're going to be talking about crime with them. We'll be at the MAC tonight. We're doing a veterans event right after this. Our office is the advocate for the state's veterans. Our heroes are very important to me. So we'll be taking care of and helping raise some money for veterans right after we leave here.
Awesome. Mike Kehoe, great to see you. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm supposed to find out within the next 90 minutes or so whether it's a boy or a girl,
Sue.
How
are they doing it? Are they doing it, you know, like a cake? One is pink and one is blue.
I don't really know.
How do you not know these
things?
Well,
because my son, if you know my son, he's like me and he doesn't give me a lot of information. Yeah. I barely knew that it was, I didn't even know she was pregnant until, 10 days ago, basically.
Having the male connection is just...
Yeah. This is my son, Evan, who's in Houston, his girlfriend, and they are going to be parents in September. We're going to find out the sex. He thinks it's a boy, but we'll find out.
Okay.
Report back to you on that in just a little bit. We got a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. That has to be one of the topics up for debate on the Roundtable. We'll toss it around. Should it be a boy or a girl? No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, including the Supreme Court arguments today and, unfortunately, safety in St. Louis, which becomes an issue every week. Jane will be here tomorrow. Former Chief of Staff for Mayor Slay, Jeff Rainford, and Greg Keller, Republican consultant and operative. We have Paul Hall and Entertainment Cusimano tomorrow. Dan Clues, who is performing next weekend at the City Winery and at BreakroomConcerts.com, the Carole King and James Taylor story. So a little music for
nice.
A Friday evening. So you might remember a couple of days ago, I talked about a story, I think it was on Tuesday, a story out of North Carolina about a kid who was suspended from school for using the word alien during English class. Remember, there was an assignment by the teacher,
right.
And the kid said, well, does that mean, illegal alien for a green card, or does it mean, like, green guy alien? And I noticed that there was a reference to an interview on WBT Radio in Charlotte, one of the great radio stations across America. And Pete Callender is a host on that particular station. I think the mom was on his show. We're going to find out a little bit more details about this. Thank you so much, Pete, for coming on. How are you?
Glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So what's the story? What happened here at, what is it, Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina?
Correct. And for folks who aren't aware, sort of in the central part of the state, about an hour or so north of Charlotte, where I am. And this kid, 16 years old, his name is Christian McGee, and he's in class. They're doing like a vocabulary lesson or something, and the teacher throws out a word, part of this assignment, and the word is alien. I have no idea, and I asked his mom, like, what was the point of this vocabulary assignment that would ask this word? And she didn't know, but she said he raises his hand and asks for some guidance and says, well, alien like space or illegal aliens
right.
who need green cards. And that then set into motion a series of events. First, there was a kid in the class who took umbrage at the mention of the word alien. And apparently this other kid was Hispanic. He threatened to beat up Christian. The teacher calls down one of the administrators. They get taken out into the hallway and, get a talking to, but then they're like, oh, no, the kid was like, I was just kidding. I wasn't really going to beat him up. And Christian says, I was just asking a question. So we all thought, everybody thought that, fine, we're going to leave it as it is. Everything's fine. But then
right.
later, the Hispanic kid gets called out of the class, goes down and has a one-on-one with another an assistant principal, apparently. And later on at the end of the day, Christian is told he's on a 3-day suspension for violating the school policies, 3-day suspension, non-appealable, because he apparently was disruptive for asking the question.
So, when I always hear these things from afar, I wonder, is there another take on this, or is there another side of the story? Because the 3-day suspension sounds rather harsh here.
Yes. And I asked the mom, I said, is there, any other explanation? What did the teacher say? And she says that the teacher and the principal both agreed that this was done, that it was a settled matter. It was an assistant principal who kind of opened it back up again. I have gotten no updates in the last week. It's all gone quiet, almost like a gotaway with a government issued debit card and a 2032 right. court date or something. But I haven't heard any kind of update. But the 3-day suspension, because it's not 10 days and by law, that's not appealable. And they're worried that this is now going to, you know, be on his record for a long time. And I am kind of curious, like, what the heck is a vocabulary assignment using the word alien? What is the point of that? And how did you not expect this kind of a discussion to occur? And if simply saying illegal aliens is triggering to somebody and they call that some sort of a racist slur, well, why would you automatically assume that there's a racial connection to that word? It's a legal term, and it could apply to anybody of any race.
Yeah, I think that's a very good question about why that word was even on that test, because it almost sounds like a little bit of a setup. Now, the mob came on your show, right, Peter? And are they getting lawyers involved, or what's the status of that?
Oh, yeah. They've had Harmeet Dillon has reached out to them. She's the one who ran against Ronna McDaniel. She's done a lot of litigation work for conservatives around the country. There are other lawyers that, you know, wrote to me, and I forwarded over to Leah, the mom, and, they're lawyering up just because they want to find out, like, what can they do to get this kind of expunged from his record. Now, to your point earlier, it is fair to note here that the school district cannot say anything, right? They're not allowed to come out and be like, hey, no, this is what really happened, or this is, you know, these are the details. We'll let you know. They can't really say all of that stuff because they're restricted by law. But I am kind of curious, like, where's the other kid in all of this? Why hasn't that kid said anything? How come nobody has gone to that other? Because I don't know the kid's name. So it's not like I can go and call him up. But there are local media. Again, this is like an hour and a half away from us. Why isn't anybody else pursuing that kid, find out who he is, and get him on the record?
Interesting stuff. I love, you know, let me ask this. This is random, but, you know, hearing you describe all this kind of makes me think of this. You know, one of the number one questions I always get as a talk show host is, how much show prep do you do? You get that one, right, Peter?
I do. Right. I do. People ask me that all the time.
Right. Do you answer the way I do, which is not very much, because stories like this just keep coming out of everywhere, don't they?
Well, I say it's a target-rich environment, and that's the problem. Like, what, 20 years ago, I don't know how guys did it back then, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, you get one newspaper in town, you got a couple of TV stations to watch, and that's about it. Now it's like drinking from a fire hose, right? And you're at a point where you're trying to, like, pull stuff out, so
yes.
you're not wasting time
yes.
doing all of these other stories. But my general rule of thumb is 2 hours of prep for every 1 hour on air. And then, of course, I end up at the end of the week with a whole stack of prep that I never use.
Well, let me tell you, as someone who's done this now for a long time, I started in talk in 1992, that the way we used to do it is honestly, we used to take a lot more calls. And I don't know about your show, but I don't take a lot of calls anymore. Every once in a while I do. But we, you know, yeah. I think about this because I'm made smarter by Google, because back in the day, if something would happen, I couldn't cross-reference it. I couldn't say, you know, I can't remember what happened, but I can sit there on my iPad and look up something and, you know, appear smarter than I even am because of the technology. So there's good things about the way things happen today compared to before. But anyway, Peter, thank you so much for jumping on here this afternoon. I really appreciate it. Hope all is well at WBT in Charlotte.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing.
That's a fascinating story. And again, I still think there's a couple of pieces of the puzzle that are missing there, but we'll see if anything comes about. You know, he said something that really did resonate with me, in the sense that a lot of times there'll be all this interest in a story, you know, and then several people cover it, and then it just goes, it goes dead, and you don't really know what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, I have, you know, I was very tempted. We have audio cut of the day coming up, Sue, and I was very tempted to use this. I do have some stuff from the Supreme Court today that I'm going to favor. But this is a really interesting little lesson here, and I'm going to do this in reverse order just because, well, you'll understand. So this is, now, if you start hearing this clip, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot not listen till the end. Okay, you got to listen to the end, because there's a bit of a reveal here. This is allegedly a high school principal named Eric Eiswert, Pikesville High. Let's see here, because I don't know where this is. Where's Pikesville High? I'll have to find that out. This is End Wokeness is blasting this out, and I'm not exactly sure where Pikesville High is. But listen to this guy. So this guy is caught on tape, allegedly, in a racist rant. All right, here he is. High school principal.
You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day. Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to drag his black ass out of here one way or another. I'm going to get something to stick. I'm just so sick of the inadequacies of these people. And if I have to get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm going to join the other side.
It was all AI.
It would have to be, right? Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to... But wow, is that scary.
You would absolutely... Now, this is fascinating. Okay, wait a second. This gets more interesting, okay? Police have now... This is fascinating. I'm just going to tell you. I came across this story about 45 minutes ago. Police have charged the athletic director of that school with creating the AI.
Wow. Now, I guess they could trace that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, here, this is from the... might meet the paywall here. This is the Baltimore Sun. Baltimore County Police arrested Pikesville High School's former athletic director Thursday morning and charged him with using artificial intelligence to impersonate Principal Eric Eiswirt, leading the public to believe that Eiswirt made racist and anti-Semitic comments. Deshaun Darion, 31, was apprehended as he attempted to board a flight to Houston at BWI Airport. Darion was stopped for having a gun on him, and airport officials saw there was a warrant for his arrest. Police said they didn't know whether Darion was trying to flee. He was charged with disrupting school activities after investigators determined he faked the voice, Eiswirt's voice, and circulated the audio on social media in January. Darion's nickname, DJ, was among the names mentioned in the audio clips that he faked, according to authorities. The audio clip had profound repercussions, police wrote, in charging documents. It not only led to Eiswirt's temporary removal from the school, but also triggered a wave of hate-filled messages on social media and numerous calls to the school. The recording also caused significant disruptions for the staff and students. Look, this is pretty hardcore serious, and this guy needs to be punished. And
wow.
You have to have prosecutors out there, and this is going to depend on the jurisdiction and the laws. And good questions for someone like Brad Young and maybe even Jane tomorrow on the roundtable is what protections in Missouri, for example, do we have? Because, Sue, you and I, someone could easily do this with me.
Oh, my
right?
goodness, yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't really have to create AI to make me sound like something that is...
But how did they... Well, this is another question. I mean, how did they track down the... I don't know. How did they find the person who did it?
Usually what happens in this case is they'll have recordings that, you know, you can loop together. But here's what the Baltimore Sun says. Actually, this is the BaltimoreBanner.com. I think I would have met the paywall at the Baltimore Sun. Questions about the audio's authenticity quickly followed after this all came out. Police wrote in charging documents that Darion had accessed the school's network on multiple occasions in December and January, searching for OpenAI tools and used large language models that practiced, quote, these are all in quotes, deep learning, which involves pulling in vast amounts of data from various sources on the internet, can recognize text inputted by the user and produce conversational results. I mean, they also connected Darion to an email account that had distributed the recording. Many current and former students believe that Eiswirt was responsible for the offensive remarks. So that's the principal, you know. So people thought that he was the guy that did that. The audio was posted on Instagram. It prompted the schools and the police to investigate. This has been going on for a while, I guess, and they finally, you know, release the information today. But man, that is, it says Darion was being investigated as of December in a theft investigation. Oh, okay. Now it's coming together. So the principal thinks that the athletic director has stolen something.
Uh-huh.
So Darion, he's the guy that did this, authorized a $1,900 payment to the school's junior varsity basketball coach, who was also his roommate, under the pretense that he was an assistant girls soccer coach. He was not, school officials said. Eiswirt determined that Darion had submitted the payment to the school's payroll system, bypassing procedures. Darion had been notified of the investigation. So police say the clip was received by three teachers the night before it went viral. The first was Darion. The third, she said, received the email and got a call from Darion and the teacher, Shayna Ravenel, telling her to check her email. Both Darion and Ravenel have submitted their resignations to the school system. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else that is, you know, relevant. How do you get your reputation back? You know, in a situation like this, that guy, all, you know, all these students and parents think that he's a big racist. I'm sure people in the community, and you're going to have people that don't even know the real truth here, right?
Oh, it's true. I mean, that is really disturbing. And you know that's going to happen more and more often.
I want to follow up on this, and we'll see how it applies to Missouri. But the story on this Baltimore Banner website says this. Baltimore County State's Attorney Scott Schellenberger said this is the first time that this type of case has been taken up by the district, and it's one of the first his office was able to find around the nation. There were some legal statutes they used that were right on point, he said, but the charge of disrupting school activities only carries a 6-month sentence. And he said this, and I think he's right about this. This is a story that is a lesson to everyone across the country to really stiffen up these statutes. He says, it seems clear to me that we may need to make our way down to Annapolis, that's the, you know, capital there, in the legislature to make some adaptations to bring the law up to date with technology that was being used. And I don't know what they're doing in Missouri, but we're going to find out tomorrow on the roundtable. We'll see if this is something that they're talking about, because you know this is going to happen more and
more.
Of
course.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Audio cut of the day is coming up next. Fascinating story, though.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
And roundtable tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Plus, we have a full slate with Suze News and Paul Hall and Entertainment Frank Cusimano. We got some fun stuff in the 5 o'clock hour as well. I have audio cut of the day. I got a couple of things in mind here. One related to the Supreme Court.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Before the Supreme Court arguments, though, and Sue, I don't know, I haven't gotten to this today, and it has made the rounds of the interwebs, if you will. I don't even, you know, there's a point where I do this, and I don't even know what to say anymore. I really don't. But this is a, not making this up, you know, we just talked about AI and all that. This is a drag queen story hour in Massachusetts for kids. This is kids, little kids, like even younger than my daughter. You want to hear what they were doing at this drag queen story hour?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you ready? Here they go.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
You know, there were people online that pointed out that the harsh reality is that a lot of members of the Alphabet Mafia are murdered in Gaza and other areas like Ramallah by the, you know, Hamas terrorists. So, I mean,
I don't even know what to.
Yeah, somebody else tweeted an indoctrination double whammy. There's no doubt about that. All right, Supreme Court arguments today in the immunity case for Donald Trump. Jonathan Turley.
Well, I think there were points in this argument that should be viewed as quite positive for the Trump team. First of all, you had roughly four justices referring to sending this back for further deliberations. If they do that, it's hard to imagine the trial judge getting a trial before the election. And if Trump is reelected, you might not have any trial at all. But the argument went along the lines of what many of us had predicted. That is, the justices seemed equally uncomfortable with the sweeping arguments of the Trump team and the sweeping decision by the D.C. Circuit.
Yeah, so a little middle ground is what Jonathan Turley predicts.
I thought the real haymaker of the argument was delivered by Chief Justice John Roberts, who was openly mocking of the D.C. Circuit, which had this awful standard where they said, well, a president can be prosecuted effectively when he's prosecuted. That is, they had this line that suggested that the fact of prosecution meant that the acts could be prosecuted. And Chief Justice Roberts legitimately said, but what type of standard is that? I mean, you know, don't we have to have something more? All of those comments would suggest that there are justices sort of groping in the dark here for a middle road.
We will talk more about it tomorrow. The Reardon Roundtable at 3. Have a great Thursday evening, Sue Thomas.
See ya.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.